world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. And we don't have to be afraid to tell the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth, because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning to all of you out there in radio land. Thank you so kindly for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your automobile, your workplace by way of internet radio. And we hope and pray that you have been having a good day, that you've gotten your day off to a good start. And remember that God loves you, and so do we here in the Situation Room. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today we're going to look at marriage questions and answers. We're going to try to give you some answers to some marriage questions today. But before we do that, let me just give you some contact information just in case you have marriage questions, or just in case you have Bible questions, or questions that pertain to the Christian life, or if you just have a hot topic, something that's going on in our world today, and you want me to bring forth a spiritual frame of reference on it, to kind of look at this story from a Bible perspective, then you can email me at BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. That's BibleWay, BibleWayIrving@gmail.com. Or you can call me and leave it on the voicemail at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, I've gotten that on out the way. Now let me get my Bible. Let me get the questions here. And let's see, the first question that we have here, this is marriage question. Question number one. We are in financial debt because of credit cards. What can we do to get out of debt? We are in financial debt because of credit cards. What can we do to get out of debt? Well, I'm sorry to hear that you are in debt because of these credit cards, but don't feel like you're by yourself. A lot of people are in debt because of credit card. But realize this, that money problem is a spiritual problem. Yes, money problem is a spiritual problem. It is just like when your car, you going down the highway, and all of a sudden the temperature light come on. That lets you know that your car is overheating. The problem is not the temperature light. The problem is under the hood. So don't get upset with the temperature light. The temperature light is the warning. It's warning you that something is wrong under the hood. The same thing when you got money problem is like that temperature light. That's the warning. It's letting you know that something is wrong under the hood on the inside. Something is wrong there in the heart. Because see, I can help you get out of debt and solve your financial problem. But see, most people end up right back in debt because they haven't solved the spiritual problem. So financial problems and money problem is really an indicator of a deeper problem. See, money is a tool to be used to help, number one, you take care of your needs, as well as God gives you money to help you further the kingdom of God. God gives you money, number one, to take care of your needs, and then to also help promote and further and advance the kingdom of God. So give some money to help the church to do its work in the kingdom of God. Excuse me. So that's why God gives you money. Money is a tool. But secondly, I want you to know that money is a test. God gives you money or a lack of money to test you as a person, that you'll know what kind of person you are. That's why a teacher give a test. It's not so much so the teacher can know, where you at, as it is so that you need to know where you at. And that's why God gives you money or lack of money. Money tests one's character. And so God is testing you when you have money or a lack of money, to see what you're going to do with the money, or to see what you're going to do to get money. So the way you use money lets you know how spiritual you are. So if you are in debt, then that's an indicator that something is not right spiritually. Now, some people, they don't know how to live within their means. That's what's wrong with a lot of people. They don't know how to live within their means. See, what get most people in debt is they confuse three things. They confuse wants, needs, and desires. Did you hear what I said? The thing that get most people in debt is they confuse wants, needs, and desires. See, if you don't know the difference between wants and needs, or needs and desire, then you're in trouble right there. You're in trouble right there. See, what are needs? What are needs? Needs are those things that are essential in order for you to function in our world, such as food. You need some food. You got to have some food, and then you got to put some clothes on. So you need clothes, and then you need a place to stay, shelter. So those are your needs, your food, your clothing, and your shelter. Those are the things that you got to have. You got to have some food, because you don't have no food, you're going to die. If you don't have some clothes to wear, then you don't have some protection for your skin and what have you. And then we don't need to be seeing you going around here in your birthday suit anyway. Amen. Because it's no telling what will happen to you. You go around in your birthday suit, you may end up getting raped or mugged or, you know, what have you. So you don't want to go. You need to put some clothes on. You need to have clothes. And then you need to have a place to stay. You need to come in out of the cold. Come in out of the heat. You need to have some kind of shelter. And so those are your needs. And then you got your wants. What are your wants? Your wants are the choices that you make. That's the choices that you make, such as eating in and eating out. You may want to eat out, but your pocketbook said, no, we better stay at home and make some hamburger helper. Even though you may want to go and, you know, and get you a steak. You may want to go to the steakhouse and eat a steak, but your pocketbook say, you need to stay here at the house and eat some hamburger helper. Or you may want to buy a big house, but your pocketbook say, no, you need to stay right here in this little cheap apartment because you don't really have the money to buy that big house that you want. You may want a big house, but right now all you can afford is this apartment. Or you may want to buy a BMW, but your pocketbook say all you can buy is really a Ford. And so your wants is those things that's a distinction. It's a choice. It's a choice that you make between a need and a want. A lot of times you may need one thing, but you want another thing. So your wants are a lot higher than your needs most of the time. Your wants are a lot higher than your needs. And then you got desires. What are desires? The desires are those things that you buy only when all your needs have been met and all your bills are paid and you got extra money. So if when you got extra money, and then you can go on and you can get your desires, but hopefully you don't get your desires with a credit card, because a credit card is like taking out a loan for your desires, and you don't really want to take out a major loan for your desires. So that's kind of in a nutshell the difference between your needs, your food, clothing, and shelter. Then your wants is that. It's an upgrade on stuff that you may not necessarily need, but you just want it. You just want it. Your want is kind of like a luxury, and then your desires is after all your needs done been met. Then you can have, you know, the desires, but don't put yourself all in debt. So what happened to most people, they try to get what they want and what they desire rather than what they need. So that's what happened to a lot of people. A lot of people, they end up chasing after getting in debt over wants and desires rather than just getting their needs met. They end up going out. A lot of times they go out too much to eat. Listen, you know that you're going out too much to eat when you tell your children, hey y'all, let's get ready for dinner, and then they run jump in the car because they thinking that y'all finna go to McDonald's. Now you know that y'all are eating out too much whenever, you know, the kids go jump in the car rather than going washing their hands and coming to the table. They ready to go out. So that lets you know that y'all eating out too much. And then, because that let eating out adds up. That eating out adds up. Sometimes, you know, you may want to even eat out with your friends at lunchtime. They're going to go to Chili's or Applebee's or Bennigan's, one of those places like that. And, you know, you can't afford to go there, you know, and spend $12. You may should have just took you a tuna fish sandwich to work there. You're going to have to do some brown bagging. So that's why I'm trying to help you on getting out of debt. You asked me to help you get out of debt. Well, the way to get out of debt is you got to stop your spending. See, there's only two ways to get out of debt. You either got to go get another job and get more money so you can get out of debt, or you're going to have to stop your spending to get out of debt. Well, if you already got a job and then another part-time job, then you're going to have to cut back. You're going to have to cut back on something. And so what happened, like I said, is some people are impulse shoppers. They go to the store for one thing, but they come back with 40 other things. So in order to solve that problem, you have to fix your spiritual problem in order to solve your financial problem. Because if you're going to the store to get one thing and come back with 40 things, then something ain't right. You don't have quite the discipline that it seems like it's going to take. But, you know, Jesus talked about this. Let me move on. Jesus talked about money and money problem over in Matthew chapter 25. Let me go over to Matthew. Let me give you some scripture. Matthew 25, 14 through 29. 25, 14 through 29. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Straightway took his journey," and he left him, went on his journey. Verse 16, "Then he that received the 5 talent, guess what he did? He went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. And he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and bought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And the Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. And he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. He said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over 5 things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now watch this. Verse 24. Then he that received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou was a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not scrawl, and I was afraid and went and hid my talent. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, he said, here, hid your money. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I did not scrawl. Thou ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I would have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has shall be taken away. All right. All right. Now, notice this story was a story about a rich man that gave every one of his servants, his three servants here, talents. And a talent now is like 60 to 80 pounds worth of, we don't know if this was silver or gold. It could have been a bag that weighed 80 pounds. One talent would weigh about 80 pounds. So a man that had five talents, he had five bags that weighed 80 pounds, I think, of silver coins, or gold coins, or copper coins. Anyway, it was a lot of money. If you just had one bag, if you just think about one bag of, let's say, silver dollars that weighed 80 pounds, that one talent would bring in you a whole bunch of money right there. So he gave one five talent, he gave one two talent, and he gave one talent. The one that had five went in and traded, got five more. The one that had two went and traded, got two more. The one who had one went and buried. Now, I got two questions. Why did the master only give this man one talent? Why did he give him one talent? He gave that other man five and gave this other man two. Why did he give him one? Because that master knew how much money he could handle. See, verse 15 said, unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability. He gave the money based on what he knew they could handle. And he knew that this servant couldn't handle much money. So he just only gave him one talent because that was all he could handle. And we see what he done with that. He really couldn't handle that, could he? And then my second question is, why did this man end up in the poorhouse? You know why he ended up in the poorhouse? Notice verse number 25. It says, I was afraid, and I went and I hid my talent, and lo, there, here your money is. He didn't have faith. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And see, he didn't use his money to work for God. If he would have just used his money and stepped out in faith to work for God, then he would have been blessed like these other two men. These other two men, they stepped out in faith and they used their faith for God. They done business for God. See, whenever you try to live for self, then you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble when you just get money and start spending it on yourself. You got to start thinking about looking at money from a biblical perspective. See, we are not owners of anything, but we are stewards of everything. God has given us money, like I said earlier, to do his will and to for his own pleasure. And so it's, well, you got to put God back in your thinking. So let me see, can I help you here? This man here, he ended up in the poorhouse because, number one, he didn't step out in faith, and then he really didn't know the purpose of money. You got to know the purpose of money. As I said earlier, if money is a tool to be used, number one, to get your needs met, not your wants, not your desire, your needs met, and then to meet the needs of the church, to help further the kingdom of God. That's the problem with most people. They don't know how to use the little money that they got. Of what most rich people do with the money that they got, they invest it. They invest it. They go trade it. They invest it. Whereas most poor people, we get money and the first thing we do is we spend it. We got to change that behavior. There's a book out there called Rich Man, Poor Man. I recommend that you get that because it tells you how rich people think and how poor people think. And the reason that we as poor people, a lot of us, the reason we stay poor is because we got a poor person mentality. You got to have, if you're going to get out of debt, you got to start thinking like a rich man and not thinking like a poor man. So my recommendation to you, let me give you a recommendation. Let me get off my soapbox here. I'm almost preaching this morning. Number one, if you're going to get out of debt, number one, you need to fix the problem. You need to fix that spiritual problem. Are you tithing? If you are not tithing, start tithing. If you are tithing, start tithing. If you are not tithing, start tithing. Because by you tithing, you are doing business with God. What tithing does, tithing teach you to put God first. It teach you to put God first. It teach you to put God first, other second, and yourself third. That's what tithing does. Tithing teaches you to put your priorities in order. Then the second thing I recommend you go get this book by Larry Brookett called More Than Finances. More Than Finances. More Than Finances. There's a lot of good books out there on finance, but I recommend this one here by Larry Brookett, B-U-R-K-E-T-T, called More Than Finances. I've used that book for many, many years. And it helped me get out of debt, and it has kept me out of debt. And there's a chapter in that book that teaches you how to pay off your credit cards. You'll start with the little credit card first, and you'll double up on that lit credit card. So if you're just paying the minimum balance, put a little bit more in it. Because if you're just paying the minimum balance, it's going to take many, many, many years if you have maxed out that credit card. But he's got a whole chapter in there to tell you how to pay off credit cards and all of those kinds of things. And then make sure that you only go after your needs and spend your money right now on your needs. And your wants have to wait. Your desires have to wait. And put your money right now on your needs. And then pray and ask God to give you the discipline. To give you the discipline to be a good steward for him. So that you won't end up in the poorhouse like this man here in Matthew 25. All right. Well, God bless you. We love you. I know those was kind of some tough words, but sometimes tough love is the kind of love that you need. All right. Well, God bless you. And we had a couple other good questions. I wanted to get to these other good questions, but look like I'm not going to be able to get to these other good questions. I had a question here back. My mate is battling with depression. How can I help? And then we had a question here on sex. Our sex life has hit the rock bottom, and we haven't had sex in weeks. What can I do to restart our sex life? We'll answer both of those questions next time, probably next Tuesday here in the Situation Room. God bless you today. Let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. So, at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book, 10 o'clock, Unshackled, 11 o'clock, a deeper look in the book, and 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, we begin to rebroadcast them. So, stick and stay, don't you dare go away. Stay with us all day long, because we are in your corner, right here, in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.